Welcome to Coastal Connection. I'm Brian Russo. Coming up on today's program, we'll revisit several of our favorite stories from the past few months. We'll head to NASA's Wallops Space Flight Facility and get a firsthand look about what it's like to send a rocket up into space.
In general, it's pretty true that for a successful launch, everything's got to go right.
And we'll make music on the fly with singer-songwriter Angela Sheik, who uses a loop pedal, a theremin, a flute, and many other instruments to create her unique sound.
Well, it started, I guess, practically. I was looking for light things. I was looking for things that I could carry by myself. And I saw an auto harp. I think it was on Goodwill's website. So that was the stuff. It was just kind of what I come across, things that are light. And I really am going for sounds that you don't hear very often. So something that's a little bit unique. That's the music I gravitate towards. Yeah.
But first, if you were among the many thousands of people in Ocean City for the air show weekend back in June, you no doubt saw and probably heard the headliner from that event, a Harrier jump jet known for its incredible vertical takeoffs and landings. A jet that wowed people on the boardwalk as it hovered over the ocean and turned in slow circles. The Harrier is traditionally, of course, a military jet, but this particular Harrier that came to Ocean City is owned by a civilian. He's a Virginia native named Art Knowles, a former military test pilot who's in big demand at air shows around the country, particularly since federal sequestration has grounded many of the military air show teams that usually perform around the country. Knowles and his wife, Pat, are the only civilians in the world to own a military jet. Their Harrier once belonged to the British Royal Navy. It's a one-seater, and because of that, I was scheduled to meet Knowles and fly with him in his other jet, the L-39 Albatross. But on the day we were supposed to talk, he was way behind schedule in arriving in Ocean City. So while I waited for him at the airport, I met his wife, Pat. We sat and talked about what it's like to be one of the only people in the world to own a military jet. And I had to pose the obvious question, how did this all come to be?
Well, we got it because Art flew Harriers when he was in the Marine Corps. In fact, he flew, I think it was between 20 to 23 different experimental aircraft while he was in the Marine Corps as a test pilot. And the Harrier was his number one baby. He absolutely loved flying that plane. And about, I want to say, 7 years ago, we received a phone call from the UK, mm-hmm. from a broker over there who said, look, I know of a guy who's selling a Harrier. Are you interested in getting it? And that's what the Char is. It is a Sea Harrier, which is the British version of the US Aviate A and Aviate B. Mm-hmm. So Art said, can I get it? And I said, yeah. We wrote a check and put him on a plane that night, and he went over and bought it that day. So it was a very fast deal. The plane was assembled at the time when he looked at it, and then we disassembled it, took the wings off, the tail off, and everything, and then bubble wrapped it and put it on a couple of flatbeds, and then they sent it down to us. Delaware, I believe it was where it went into. And once it went into there, then we went through a little bit of customs issues mm-hmm. because they'd never had a Harrier coming across the sea, you know, private hands. But that didn't take too long. And then we started the assembly process, which took about 3 years.
Yeah, it's amazing to me because, you know, that's a pretty big toy or thing to buy. I mean, how did he approach you with that? Honey, can I buy a military jet? I mean, it's
basically
not
just like that. He said, honey, can I buy a military jet?
And what was your immediate reaction?
My reaction was, if it makes you happy, go get it.
Wow.
I'm 100% supporter of his hobbies and toys and things like that. Because then I turn around and I said, you know, that house, I really want that house. And I end up getting the house.
Did you get the house?
I really want the car.
Right.
And I get the car. Yeah, that's so it. You know, kind of quid pro quo type thing.
Right. And, you know, the other thing that I read, too, is that in the restoration process or getting this Harrier back to flyable status, mm-hmm. that you guys went through an instruction manual that was like 400,000 pages long. And over the course of several years, you put it back together. Was there ever a point in putting that together where you just looked at it and said, how are we going to do this?
Not really, because we had an extremely excellent team of people involved. At that time, I think it was a total of 12, maybe 15 personnel. Some of them came from Cherry Point, North Carolina, And these are all Marine pilots, who, or not pilots, but Marine specialists in the field of putting and working on Harriers, putting them back together and so forth. So they all volunteered. We paid for hotels and food and transportation and so on and so forth. And they all came up to St. Mary's and every weekend, and they would start the assembly process on the plane. And within, I would say within a matter of maybe 6 months, the thing was assembled.
Wow.
Okay. And then it was the fine tuning, and a lot of the specialists that were then called in to do the fine tuning.
What was it like the first time he took the Harrier up? And of course, for people who aren't familiar, the Harrier has this amazing ability to take off vertically. What was it like? Were you nervous? Did you worry for his safety, or was it just a huge rush of adrenaline and excitement for both of you?
Right. I think anyone who has a plane of this caliber is going to be nervous, and I don't care how good or proficient someone is. Art had not flown the plane in 13 years.
Wow.
And so for him to get in the cockpit and take off, it was absolutely amazing. And yes, my heart was fluttering, but I knew that that he knew what he was doing. He was very comfortable. He had a very good ground team that he would continually radio check with to make sure that everything was going as it should be. The first flight, absolutely beautiful, no problem whatsoever. The second flight, we had to do an emergency landing in Patuxent River Naval Base. And at that time was when the first time he had to do the total vertical landing, where he came down. Then the nose hit the concrete, and he caused a little bit of nose damage, some wing damage, and the landing. What happened was actually the landing gear, the front landing gear, would not lock in place.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, you know, he had to do a nosedive. But you know, he called me from the aircraft and said, honey, I've had an accident. I said, I'm on my way. And then as soon as I got there and saw that the plane was all right and he was all right, I said, okay, let's get it up. Let's get going. Let's, you know, let's move it along. So
the plane that I was going to ride along with him today, because the Harrier is obviously a one-seater, is the L-39, the Albatross.
Right.
And, you know, I think we should mention, you know, that's not going to happen today because he's getting in much later than we had anticipated. Tell me about the L-39. Have you been up in that?
Yes, I have flown in the L-39.
So what am I missing?
Something that you'll never experience again in your life, basically, because what the difference between that and a commercial jet or even one of the like Cessna 150s or something like that out here at the airport is that you have a canopy over the top of you that gives you a 365-degree view of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it is almost like you're flying in a bubble. Okay, so from that standpoint, that is amazing. But then you also have the speed. You can also invert the aircraft to where you're flying upside down, mm-hmm. and that's a rush. A lot of people absolutely lose it on that. And the other thing, too, is that the pilots, whether it's Joe or Art, will allow you to take the controls, and you can fly the aircraft yourself, which is an experience a lot of people have just absolutely been amazed over. It's a pure black jet. That's how I finally refer to it, as a black jet. It's a Czechoslovakian Russian jet, and it's a beautiful, beautiful plane. It's fabulous to fly in.
What's the biggest thrill for you guys? I mean, because it's very hard to top going at the speeds that you're going and doing all these things these aircrafts can do. But I know in speaking with other airshow performers that going to different airshows across the country have, you know, different takeaways for it. For one like Ocean City, what drew you and Art to this show, and what are you looking forward to the most?
Well, it isn't really the money issue, because that didn't top our priority list. But I think it's the air show boss, the director of the air show. It's the personalities of the people involved at each one of the air shows that can pull you in and say, you know, we'll work with you. We'll do whatever you need to make you comfortable, make you feel safe, and make your plane, you know, well protected on the ground. So it's a combination of that and also the new location. This is our very first time doing Ocean mm-hmm. City, and we're really happy to be invited, and hopefully we'll be invited back next year and mm-hmm. the year after that.
You know how couples always have, like, hobbies that they do together? Some couples, you know, ride motorcycles together, or they take, you know, tango lessons or
right.
something. Other than flying military jets and restoring them. Is there anything else that you guys do?
No.
That was Patricia Knowles, wife of Art Knowles, the headliner from the Ocean City Air Show back in June. We've got more about Art and Pat Knowles and their jump jet at our website, wamucoast.org. Now, I was incredibly dejected that I didn't get to fly along with Art in his L-39 Albatross, especially after listening to Patricia's description of it. But since it was Air Show weekend and the Ocean City Municipal Airport is filled with top-notch pilots from all over the world, it didn't take long to find someone else who would take me up. And that someone was Marty Sheehan.
So tell me about the plane that we're going to be that we're walking towards right now.
It's a Yak 52 built in Romania in 1982. It currently has 3,500 hours on it, and it's a plus 7 minus 5 G airplane. This airplane was designed for primary aerobatic training in the Russian military, and it does loops, rolls, hammerheads, and spins.
All stuff I enjoy doing.
Great.
So Marty Sheehan fired up the engine. We took off high above our picturesque coastline. We did some flips and rolls and loops and even let me fly the plane for a while, which was like seeing our region in a whole new way. I'm Brian Russo, and you're listening to Coastal Connection here on 88.3 in Ocean City, Maryland. We'll be right back.